Welcome to Bob Dylan, Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man. I'm Rita Houston.
Oh, took me a woman late last night. I was three-fourths drunk. She looked half right. Till she took off some of that onion gook. Then she took off her wig, said, how do I look? I was high-flying. Out the window, bare naked.
Whitmark Music had a small room for artists to record their new songs. Dylan used it a lot from 1962 through 1964, even though he already had a deal with Columbia Records. Writer Colin Escott.
What Whitmark did, unconsciously, I guess, was document Bob Dylan's evolving skill as a songwriter almost on like a month-by-month basis, you know, which Columbia Records did not, understandably did not. But the demos really give us a sense of Bob Dylan's genius unfolding, you know, from those very early demos when he's derivative of other songwriters and basing his melodies on archetypal melodies, from there to strikingly original melodies, strikingly original words, and at the same time taking a detour through protest songs and out of protest songs and back into innerscapes. You know, all within a frighteningly short period of time.
In October of 1962, James Meredith caused an uproar in Oxford, Mississippi, when he became the first African-American student at the University of Mississippi. By December, Dylan had a song about it.
Oxford town, Oxford town, everybody's got their heads bowed down. The sun don't shine above the ground, ain't going down to Oxford town. Down to Oxford town, guns and clubs followed him down, all because his face was brown. Better get away from Oxford town.
A demo recording of Oxford Town, performed by Bob Dylan. Music publisher, Art Mogul.
Bob would come in, bring me whatever, six or seven new songs, hand me the yellow, messed up legal-sized paper on which he'd written the lyrics. And then we put him in the studio and we'd record him. And mind you, this studio wasn't 6 feet by 8 feet and one microphone. It was just a crappy little demo studio. And he'd sing his songs. I wouldn't even presume to judge them, although oft times there were some that I liked better than others. But every one of the songs came to me that way. The Times They Are A-Changin', and all the classics.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone, and if your breath to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Dylan wasn't the only self-contained singer-songwriter to change the business. Sam Cooke, Ray Charles, the Beatles, and many others did as well. And some realized that managing their own publishing meant more artistic control. Dylan would do the same by the mid-1960s, forming his own publishing company, Dwarf Music. Having more control over the songs didn't mean they could get away with anything, though. Art Mogul went to the studio during the Blonde on Blonde sessions.
It was originally called Everybody Let's Get Stoned. So they're mixing it, or they're editing it over at the Columbia Studios, and Grossman calls me and says, can you come over to the studios? We want to talk to you. So I go over there and they play me. They say, can we get this played on the radio? I said, not if you're going to call it that. Well, you got to change the title. Okay, we'll change the title. So now Bob starts saying, all right, let's call it Rainy Day Women. Now, I didn't hear anything in that song that pertained to Rainy Day Women. But this is what I meant when I said I had learned not to question. I pretended, well, that's a good title. He says, well, let's call it Rainy Day Women number 69. I said, Jesus Christ, you can't call it that. anyway, for no apparent reason that I could figure out, it ends up being called Rainy Day Women number 12 and 35. And years later, I'm sitting in a publisher's office in Paris, and I'm reading the Paris Review, which George Plimpton edited at the time, and I read a 12-page article on the significance of the numbers 12 and 35 in that song.
Well, they'll stone you when you're trying to be so good. They'll stone you just like they said they would. They'll stone you when you're trying to go home. They'll stone you when you're there all alone. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned.
More information on Bob Dylan can be found at bobdylan.com. I'm Rita Houston. Thanks for listening.